Patient safety indicators, or PSIs, provide insight into safety events that occur during the care delivery. Healthcare organizations can use PSIs to assess potential complications and events to improve their care. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, Principal in Operations and Quality at Vizient and a practicing internist. Joining me is Terry Goldie, Consultant Director at Vizient. Terry, welcome to Modern Practice.
Glad to be here, Tom.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Vizient.
Well, I am a registered nurse by background, and I work for the CDI advisory team. I provide CDI information and performance improvement work, mostly focused on quality, and a lot of PSI work and CDI implementation.
So let's dive right into it, Terry. First, what exactly is a PSI?
PSI stands for Patient Safety Indicators. They kind of provide information on how well hospitals care for patients with a wide range of health problems.
So if I understand it right, this actually got very much elevated during the pandemic. And even after the pandemic, we've been seeing a lot of news in reference to this. Why are PSIs important to how organizations deliver care?
What we're focused now on is quality in healthcare. So in this time, dealing with COVID and hospitals and inundated with COVID patients, we can describe this as trying to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. So we're trying to have the best possible results. How are we looking at this is, in practice, even the best hospitals will experience complications. And even after a surgical operation or as a result of other in-hospital patient care, we can incur a complication.
Terry, what do PSIs exactly measure?
So PSIs specifically show how well a hospital is providing safe patient care by examining the number of medical errors or adverse events that occur during surgeries or medical procedures and childbirth.
So can you give us an example of PSI?
Oh, of course. Say we have a patient who's admitted on day one, and this patient comes in from a nursing home and they present with a stage 3 pressure injury to their sacrum. And this is a stage 3 that's present on admission. So if the sacrum pressure injury is present on admission, this would not be counted as a PSI. However, if the patient develops a stage 3 pressure injury, that would trigger a PSI.
So I think it's important to relate here then how documentation is important in the sense that you need to identify that the patient came with this injury versus it occurring in the hospital. So not only obviously a thorough examination, but more importantly that you document that. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes, absolutely. And what's more important is that if we don't identify these things as present on admission, what the hospital incurs is a penalty. And we don't want to see this patient incur a pressure injury and identify it later in the admission and possibly incur an infection because these are very painful to the patient or incur death.
So who developed these PSIs and why, Terry?
So AHRQ developed these PSIs to help hospitals identify potentially preventable adverse events or serious medical errors. And when these adverse events are identified, hospitals can put corrective systems in place to prevent the error from reoccurring.
So it was done as an additional safety measure. How do PSIs differ then from CMS measures?
The PSIs differ from the way the recommended care measures from CMS are calculated. Unlike the recommended care measures, a lower rate in PSIs indicates better performance by a hospital. With PSIs, lower rates mean fewer medical errors or adverse events because CMS, or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, lists some of these errors as never events, whereas AHRQ developed these PSIs to help hospitals identify them as potentially preventable errors for reoccurrence, actually. So they kind of measure them different, and somewhat the data is collected differently, and the hospital needs to identify and report them differently.
So Terry, let's dive into how the data is collected. So who actually collects the data on PSIs, and where do they collect the data from?
That's a great question, Tom. So the data comes from your hospital's discharge database, which is also known as the Uniform Bill or UB data. And the hospitals submit these data elements to the Department of Health. And within that UB data, you get this adequate information about healthcare services.
Where do the organizations submit the UB data to once it's pulled?
Well, within that UB data, you get adequate information about healthcare services delivered in the hospital on patients' diagnoses, procedures, age, gender, your admission source, discharge status, and other elements. And then, from these data elements, you can identify indicators of potential problems that result from the exposure to the healthcare system and are likely to be prevented as a result of system-level changes.
So what does the UB data include?
you're getting those patients' diagnoses and also gives you those procedures. And it gives you basic demographics like their age and gender and the admission source. So where do they come from? Are they coming in from home? Are they coming from a nursing home? Are they being sent in from a clinic or a doctor's office and whatnot?
How can an organization use this data once it's pulled, Terry?
Well, this is helpful in determining whether the source, the patient's admission source, can be a determinant of whether this PSI could be prevented. So if the patient's admit source is urgent, emergent, or non-urgent, that's how it indicates it as being preventable. So when you look at a PSI criteria, is the patient emergent admission? And if it is, it's most likely going to be an exclusion criteria. And it would probably say, well, it's not a PSI. But if a patient is admitted as non-urgent or a patient is admitted as elective surgery, then it's going to be included into the PSI category. And that's where the hospital is going to say, well, it's an elective surgical admission and they had a pressure injury occur or they had post-op respiratory failure due to, say, a CABG, well, then they need to figure out why this happened.
So I guess this really iterates the importance of documentation. Not only that, if something was there when the patient was brought in for the procedure, say if it was elective, or even more importantly, if they came in urgently to the emergency room, if you have any findings that could be considered a PSI, that it's documented appropriately.
That is so true. I mean, when we're looking at these kind of pieces of data, CMS calls these never events. They're basically saying, hey, we're not supposed to have post-op respiratory failure on a CABG or hip surgery. You're coming in for a hip replacement. They shouldn't have respiratory failure post-operatively. Is it something that's due to an unrelated condition or is it related to a condition pre-op? Do they have maybe congestive heart failure or another comorbid condition that could have triggered it? And is it linked to something else? But it shouldn't have happened because of an elective surgical admission that was due to a hip replacement. It could have been due to something else.
Terry, what does a hospital rate mean?
That's a great question. So each PSI measure shows the extent to which patients experience a particular problem during their hospital stay. A rate is expressed as the number of complications or medical errors per 1,000 eligible patients. So here's a good example, Tom. Suppose a hospital has 1,000 patients who had pressure injuries occurring during the hospital's inpatient stay. And let us suppose again that 20 out of these 1,000 patients experienced pressure injuries stage 3, 4, and unstageable. This will then mean that the rate of occurrence of pressure injuries at this hospital for a medical or surgical type of admission with a length of stay of 3 days would be per every 1,000 patients or 2%. That would be 2 out of 100 patients. So the caveat for PSIs is lower numbers mean fewer medical errors or adverse events. And this is different from the recommended care measures, where higher numbers mean better performance.
How are PSI rates calculated?
PSI rates in this report are calculated by applying the AHRQ PSI software. And in this case, we use version 2021 to the 2020 hospital discharge UB data. The software is known for its strength in performing risk adjustment. And risk adjustment rates are calculated by comparing the number of complications, which are adverse events, expected in a particular hospital, and how many patients actually experienced the adverse events. So hospitals treating sicker or older patients may be unfairly compared to other hospitals with healthier patients. So it's very important to make adjustments for differences in patients' characteristics such as age, sex, comorbidities, severity of illness, so that hospitals may be compared fairly. So here's a good example of this, Tom. If a patient has a pre-existing chronic illness before entering the hospital, this condition may increase the likelihood or risk of the patient acquiring a complication and perhaps not surviving the procedure or treatment. And advanced age is another example of a characteristic that may increase the risk of experiencing a complication.
So how can organizations remedy that drawback?
So it's very important to make adjustments for differences in patient characteristics, such as age, sex, comorbidities, severity of illness, so that hospitals may be compared fairly. Here's a good example of this, Tom. If a patient has a pre-existing chronic illness before entering the hospital, this condition may increase the likelihood or risk of that patient acquiring a complication and perhaps not surviving the procedure or treatment. Advanced age is another example of a characteristic that may increase the risk of experiencing complications. Since 2008, hospitals have been reporting data on present on admission for each patient on their UB forms. Patients may have other comorbidities upon admission in addition to health problems for which they were admitted. It is often difficult to separate these pre-existing conditions from new health problems acquired during hospitalization. The present on admission indicator identifies these pre-existing conditions and those that occurred during the hospital stay. This way, patients with the POA can be excluded from the rate calculation when appropriate so that performance comparison remains fair and balanced. So remember, lower rates are better and mean the hospital has fewer adverse events than the statewide average rate.
So Terry, this actually, again, reemphasizes the importance of documentation, but also where there has to be a marriage between your documentation team and your quality team. And I don't think a lot of people get that. I mean, you could actually be hurting yourself as an organization if you're not documenting well, which affects your quality and vice versa. Am I reading this the right way?
You're absolutely right. It sure does. So every time we have a hospital complication of care, it counts against the facility. So if we don't capture those comorbid conditions accurately, and if they are present on admission, the hospital is going to receive that penalty. And if we have a PSI incurred, it affects their scores and it affects their public scorecards and ranking.
So how does it actually affect their quality scores?
It absolutely does. It takes away from their reimbursement. So when we're talking about PSIs, it will take away their reimbursement based on their billed DRG. Once the patient is discharged and the bill goes out to CMS or to an insurance carrier, the payment will be reimbursed with a reduction in payment based on that penalty. PSIs can affect reimbursement and your performance nationally.
So Terry, from the hospital's perspective, can PSIs actually provide conclusions about patient safety in their facilities?
Absolutely. PSIs are a great indicator for hospital performance. PSIs provide hospitals with a mortality and safety perspective.
So do PSIs really serve as a useful measure?
Absolutely. I think when an adverse event is identified, hospitals can put a corrective system in place to prevent the error from reoccurring.
So really, it's a measure of a way of reducing harm.
Absolutely.
But you want to make sure you're being measured correctly and fairly by actually making sure that you're documenting things that are present on admission and mentioning all the risks that the patient has for a PSI to occur.
That is correct.
So are PSIs publicly reported, Terry?
Yes, PSIs are reported by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, otherwise known as AHRQ. As of July 2021, all of the PSI specifications were updated with the most current definitions that will tell if a particular patient's circumstances meet the criteria for a PSI.
So as we close, Terry, any closing thoughts for our listeners?
Well, of course. What is really important about PSIs is how the record is looked at. I can only advise that a concurrent CDI program is essential. How CDI looks at the record and deciphers whether a PSI is really occurring. Look at the record and look at the surgical procedure. Is an event really happening? Is it an event that happened postoperatively? Or is it something that a patient has pre-op or intra-op or post-op? So a CDI program is essential when we're talking about a PSI event. Is it really something that's present on admission, or is it something that's actually occurring postoperatively? So it's super important that all teams work collaboratively and work in concurrently.
Perfect. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate your insights. If you'd like to contact Terry, we put her email address in the resource section of our podcast page. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send us your comments, please contact me at our email at modernpracticepodcast.com. And we also posted a link in our resource section. And please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.